Congress may be divided. One of its committees is less so. A new select House committee on China has attracted bipartisan support. The Republican chairman, Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, spoke with our program in December.
If you had to put a number on it, what percentage of opinion about China and the threat to China is bipartisan right now?
Yeah, maybe if I had to guess, it'd be 75%.
Tonight, the Committee on China holds its first hearing. So we also call on its top Democrat, Raja Krishnamurthy of Illinois.
Mike and I have agreed to consult each other on the agenda, so I'm hopeful that we can chart a common path.
Krishnamurthy and Gallagher spoke together with our co-host, Steve Inskeep.
And we noticed that both of them tended to speak not about China, but the Chinese Communist Party. Gallagher, the Republican, says the word choice is deliberate.
I think it conveys something essential about the party state. The Chinese Communist Party controls everything. It's a very small group of people in the Politburo that control everything. And increasingly, one person in the form of Xi Jinping, who I think can be more accurately referred to as General Secretary and not President, because as General Secretary of the party, that's how he derives all of his power. We don't have a quarrel with the Chinese people, and the Chinese people are often the primary victim of CCP oppression and repression.
Both lawmakers spoke of China's imprisonment of thousands of Uyghurs. They're a largely Muslim ethnic group in the mountains and deserts of Western China. As U.S. relations with China declined in recent years, the United States labeled China's actions genocide. China rejects that label, although the Chinese diplomat Qin Gang told us last year they were re-educating Uyghurs.
We give them chance. We use a measure to correct them. It's a preventive measure.
A preventive measure.
Preventively, because
preventing them from having terrorist thoughts before they have them.
Before they have them.
On this program last week, we heard a Uyghur journalist, Gulchehra Hoxha, who speaks of her region as a separate country, although it's not clear how it could ever win independence. We played some of Hoxha's words to the lawmakers.
You know, I want to give the message to the Chinese government. Even you are locked down so many millions of people, even you kill them, you cannot kill their hope.
Gentlemen, that was a powerful statement she made that a lot of people responded to. But I am left with the question, what, in a practical sense, can the United States do for people in Western China?
Well, I would say three things, Steve. One, by shining a light on the ongoing genocide, I think we can raise awareness and generate support for practical next steps.
Republican Mike Gallagher's next point was a law that Congress has already passed. It compels companies to certify they are not using Uyghur forced labor. Now, Gallagher wants to impose controls on U.S. investments in China.
So that we are not unwittingly funding communist genocide or PLA modernization. And that's the area where I think we're going to need to develop legislation in this Congress.
Although I do have that question for you both, and it's a very hard question. Do we as a country in some way rile up people in Western China and encourage them to get in trouble with their government and ultimately we can't protect them?
I don't think so. They don't need to be riled up by anybody, Steve. I think that they are agitating for fundamental human rights.
Let me ask about two items that have been in the news regarding China in recent months. Do you feel you understand any better what that Chinese balloon was about?
Well, ever since that story popped, we've been talking about the balloon a lot in different ways.
He said the story popped. That's the Democrat, Raja Krishnamurthy.
The Chinese spy balloon is just one part of a massive surveillance apparatus, Steve, that the CCP has put in place. They have cyber espionage tools. They also enlist what are called cyber gangs. According to the U.S. Secret Service, there's a gang called the APT-41 out of Chengdu, China, that not only conducts cyber surveillance for them, but they also collect personally identifiable information of Americans, and they used it to get COVID aid under the PPP program. And then they turned over the identifiable information to the CCP.
You know, a Chinese spy balloon drifting over the country, encircling our nuclear ICBM facilities, has a way of sort of bringing the threat close to home that's more powerful than any sort of individual statement Raj and I could make. And he's absolutely right to suggest that it's just one part of a broader espionage apparatus, much of which is poorly understood. It's my contention that the most insidious and least understood form of CCP influence is something called United Front Work. It's what Xi Jinping refers to as a magic weapon. It's how they influence foreign societies and capture foreign elites. And so I think a lot of our work on the committee is going to be to prize our colleagues of the nature of United Front Work, because they are targets. We are a soft target for Chinese influence here in Congress.
You just used the phrase capture foreign elites. Are they capturing American elites as you see it?
I see many members of the business community, the Wall Street community, who in pursuit of profits in China have been willing to silence their criticism of the regime. And I understand the natural impulse to make money. But we, I think, are going to have to ask some hard questions of business elites about how exactly they navigate the delicate balance of doing business in China.
I want to ask about one other thing that's been in the news. The United States, in various ways, is moving against TikTok because it's such a popular social media platform that is owned by a Chinese company. But I was talking with a colleague earlier who made an interesting point. She said, okay, TikTok is a Chinese company, but is it really any worse than every other app on my phone that is constantly mining my data for profit? Is it really that much worse?
It's more addictive, and that part of that is just because the tech is better. I think the difference is the basic ownership structure, right? TikTok is owned by ByteDance. ByteDance is a Chinese company that operates at the mercy of the Chinese Communist Party, which is heavily influenced by the party state and its members. You can't say the same for the other apps, all of which are admittedly addictive and a bad use of anybody's time, particularly if you're an adult. The issue with TikTok, sort of flowing from that basic ownership structure, isn't just that the app can be used to spy or collect sensitive data. More than that, it can be used to influence the news, what people see and talk about, and therefore to interfere in our society and our politics and our very democracy. So I think we're nearing a very dangerous inflection point here. We don't want the CCP to control one of, if not the most influential information platform in the West.
Representatives Mike Gallagher and Raja Krishnamurthy, thanks to you both.
Thank you
so much.
The House Select Committee on China holds its first hearing today, while a different panel, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, considers a bill that would allow the president to ban TikTok. The White House, meanwhile, has directed government agencies to remove the TikTok app from federal devices.